It's the CougarFan.com Rise and Shout Podcast, episode 267, and I am your host, Adam Mangum. In this episode, Matt and I record from beautiful New Orleans, Louisiana. The big game against number one Gonzaga is coming up, and we offer our thoughts and our preview. Are the Cougars doomed to the NIT, or maybe worse? We also chat about volleyball, review the performances of Jamal and Longy in the Senior Bowl, and we give our very own Super Bowl preview. This is the CougarFan.com Rise and Shout Podcast. Get all of your Cougar news at CougarFan.com. Follow us on Facebook at Facebook.com/Rise and Shout. And listen to us right now. Rise and Shout Podcast, Matt. For the second time in podcast history, we're doing this together in the same room.
It's almost weird. Actually, no, it's not almost weird. It's just weird.
It's super weird. You want to know why?
Because I can look right at your face.
Yeah, because I can see your face, man. It's weird. The other part about it's weird is our location. We are sitting in a hotel in downtown New Orleans.
Yes, we are. We are in New Orleans.
Of course, for those that haven't been paying attention at home, you may have heard Matt talk about how he and his family relocated to Baton Rouge. And I'm on a business trip in New Orleans, so here we are hanging out.
Yeah, it's pretty awesome, actually.
What's up, dude?
What's going on?
It's weird looking at you. I'm going to stop looking at you. I'm going to look at my computer now. It's freaking me out. It's freaking me out.
Freaking yourself out.
So, Matt, I didn't really have a good opening, okay? But I wanted to ask you a question.
Oh, well, it sounds to me like you had an opening.
Well, I thought of it on the airplane while I was falling asleep.
Well, great. Well, I'm sure this will be weird, but let's go ahead.
Have I told you now? I sleep the first, like, 25, 30 minutes of flight.
There is something about planes taking off. It's drugs. Like, as soon as the plane starts to back out from the jetway, I'm done. I'm out. I'm uncontrollably asleep until we hit cruising altitude.
That is only true for me in the last couple of years. That didn't used to happen.
I don't know what it is.
So anyway, as I've fallen asleep on the plane, Matt, I had this idea, this thought.
This can't be good.
How many Pixar movies have you seen? All of them?
See, when you ask me these questions, that have statistical answers like that. I don't know. Okay. I don't even know.
I'll go to the more obscure ones.
Okay. Yeah. Let's do that.
Have you seen WALL-E?
Yes.
Okay. Have you seen The Last Dinosaur?
Yes.
I've not seen The Last Dinosaur. That's the only one of their 17.
Okay. It was a good one. I liked it.
Have you seen Cars 2? That's the one where Mater's in Japan.
Yes. Okay. And they think he's a spy.
Yes. Okay. So it sounds like you may have seen them all up.
Yep. Oh, I've got 4 kids.
Yeah. Well, until you have 5 kids.
Start.
You really don't know.
4 kids.
Dad, have I told you the joke I read about Jim Gaffigan with 5 kids? There's the 4 kids one about drowning. There's a 5 kids one. Have you heard this
one? No, I've not.
He said, you know, families with 5 kids are like waterbed stores. You used to see them all over the place, and now they're just weird. So that's Jim Gaffigan, and it's true. When we go out, we do get a look or two. With 4 kids, I'm sure you do too.
It's weird.
We did when we had 4 kids. So anyway, Matt, what is your favorite Pixar movie? Do you have a favorite of the Pixars?
You know, the Toy Story series is a classic. Awesome. Did I say Toy Story?
You did say Toy Story.
But I think you know where I was going there, right?
Yes.
I mean, it's a classic.
It's fantastic.
So maybe I'm going to go there.
Toy Story. I'm a big Incredibles fan.
Incredibles was a good movie.
I'm a big Incredibles fan, and they're doing a sequel to that, which I'm 100% behind them doing that. The other one that I just saw Inside Out for the second time, but the first time I was taking a 1-year-old out frequently, so I missed a lot of the important points. That one will just kick the crap out of you emotionally.
See, when you first started saying that you were taking, I thought you were going to say you were taking some medication at the time, and I was going to ask if the movie was even better. No, that was a good movie.
Fantastic movie.
Roller coaster. Emotional roller coaster.
Fantastic. So Matt, the reason I ask you this is, do you watch any bad movies anymore? Do you ever see movies?
Define bad movies.
Do you ever see any movies where you walk out and you go, boy, that was terrible? Or do you only go to movies where it's Pixar or somebody like that where you just trust they're not going to put together a crappy movie?
So I'm pretty selective. You know, we've covered this. Yeah. You know, you don't have a lot of time to go to movies. I don't go to a ton of movies. So by the time I choose to go see a movie, it's usually pretty well vetted, or it's a Star Wars film that just came out. apparently.
But you and I saw a lot when we were both at BYU. We went to the Dog Theater and we would come out of movies laughing about how terrible a movie was. I don't see terrible movies anymore. It's kind of weird.
Well, you know, do you have a dollar theater where you can go see every movie ever put out?
We do not have a dollar theater.
See, that's the advantage.
And I wish they had something like that near us so we could go do a midnight back-to-back-to-back of the Indiana Jones. Did you do that?
And I think we also did that with the Matrix series. Was that the Matrix? No.
No,
they weren't all out by then.
They weren't all out by then. There was also Back to the Future. They did Star Wars while I was there a couple times. The Indiana Jones one was annoying because they didn't do it in order. They did Last Crusade first.
That doesn't even make sense. That doesn't even make any sense.
But here's the thing. If you're going to do it not in order, then do it in chronological order, because technically Temple of Doom happens before Raiders of the Lost Ark. So if you're going to change up the order, do that.
See, if you would have just asked me, hey, I don't think I could place those movies in chronological or in the order that they came out in theaters.
Oh, come on. You could do it with theaters.
How many of them are there again?
There's now four. At the time, there were three.
So you got Temple of Doom.
Temple of Doom.
Raiders of the Lost Ark.
Raiders of the Lost Ark.
Last Crusade.
Last Crusade.
So, and what's the other one?
Crystal Kingdom.
I never saw that one.
Yeah, that's okay. You didn't miss much.
See, I don't go to bad movies.
Shia LaBeouf is not
Young Indiana Jones. No, listen. The best in young Indiana Jones was River Phoenix.
Yeah, we're done. You don't
Over.
Need to do it again.
Case closed.
You don't need to do it again. Okay, so... Matt, let's move on and actually talk about something that's relevant to our listeners. But that would be a first, right?
Yeah. When have we ever done that? So, you know what I'm wondering? Because normally my voice sounds a little bit different because I'm calling in.
Yes.
I'm wondering, it'll be interesting to see if people get confused between you and me with the since we're both plugged in right here.
I have it on good authority from many of our listeners that there are longtime listeners that even with those differences of you calling in and the Skype whatever, cannot tell us
well,
apart.
Well, there's a couple times, even guys that are regular tweet baggers that will say, oh, I agree with Matt, or I agree with Adam, and I'm like, you're agreeing with the wrong person.
Yes, that is...
Should I talk like this for the rest of the show with my nose plugged?
Actually, that sounds a lot better.
That's really awkward.
That sounds a lot better than your normal voice. So, Matt, let's head off to the CougarFan.com. Cougars in the news.
Cougars in the news!
Wow, that's really freaking loud when I'm sitting right
next to you. I tell you, when I'm traveling, it's all really awkward to do it in hotels, isn't it?
Yes, it is, Matt. It's probably also awkward for your wife and children when you do it at home.
I yell like that all the time.
Men's volleyball, Matt, split with number 7 UC Irvine, a 5-set thriller on Friday night, followed by sweeping the Anteaters on Saturday night. They host number 2 UCLA this weekend. Percent chance you will watch some of that volleyball this weekend.
Oh, 100% UCLA, yeah.
I know. It's fantastic.
You know, whoever thought you'd use the phrase sweeping the Anteaters?
Sweeping
what? There's a string of words you probably weren't expecting to say when you woke up today.
Sweeping the ants, maybe, but not the Anteaters.
I think I've done that.
What kind of broom do you need to sweep Anteaters? Something big.
Big.
Industrial I don't even know
size.
What we're talking about anymore.
Industrial size.
Matt, the Senior Bowl happened this weekend. There were two former BYU Cougars in the game. Jamal Williams got a few touches, looked all right. Nothing remarkable there, except for the scouts are raving.
See, and this is something, is not a surprise, right? Yeah. You're not surprised that once these guys get to really lay eyes on Jamal, watch him work for a week, see him in practice. Because for the Senior Bowl guys, that's really where the money is made. It's not at the game. The game is nice. If you have a good game, that can be important. But really, it's the week long with the NFL coaches, learning schemes, how you behave in practice. That's the stuff that's really going to make your money at the Senior Bowl. So to hear that Jamal was able to do that is not surprising.
No, surprising.
Yeah, we knew he was ready to do that.
Yeah. Zero to 10 scale of shocked. I'm at 0.
Yeah.
No shocking. But Matt, the big thing for me is right now people are talking about him as a third or fourth round draft choice. We talked about that several weeks ago on the podcast. Matt, I am now going to make a bold prediction.
Oh, boy.
Bold prediction. He's gone off the board by the middle of the second round.
That's very high.
I think someone's going to reach. I think somebody's going to really like him, and they're going to be afraid. And so let's say mid to late second round, they're going to be afraid he's not going to be there by their next pick, and they're going to reach and get him.
That's a very bold prediction. I don't know that I see that. A third round pick, I think I don't want to use the term ceiling, but third round pick is where I see him going. Second round, that's
high. No, I'm not
that's
saying
for all the marbles.
That is a big deal, right? That is higher than almost any Cougar has been drafted I mean, saved Ziggy Ansah quite some time.
Who also made his money, by the way, at the Senior Bowl.
The Senior Bowl, Combine. I mean, he's a physical
freak.
I guess
Combine was a big deal for
Ziggy. I think both. I mean, he showed, I mean, obviously, Jamal has a lot more tape on him than Ziggy did, because Ziggy, you know, was limited in his play time early in his career. You may not have heard this, but he didn't play football before he came to BYU.
Have you heard that he put his pads on backwards the first time?
No, I have
not
heard
that. That's a rarely told story.
Yes. If you watch a Detroit Lions game, there is a 100% chance the announcers bring it up.
Especially if it's a crew that has not covered the Lions before.
It doesn't matter. They'll still do it. It's like every national announcer who calls a BYU game and feels obliged to spend 10 minutes badly explaining mission trips.
Oh, mission trips are the best.
Mission trips.
I wish I could go on one of the mission trips they're talking about.
Yeah. Same here. Anyway, so Matt, Harvey Longy also looked good. His tape, quite frankly, I thought was fantastic. He had one play where he pushed the offensive lineman back into the running back, who then was tackled by somebody else, but I'll give Longy credit for that. Matt, what is your feeling of Harvey Longy being drafted as a linebacker? Is he going to go? Is he going to get drafted?
Yeah, I think it's going to be close for him. You know, if you would have asked me this question before the Senior Bowl, I'd say no. You know, he's a free agent guy.
But, I would have thought the same thing.
But I think an opportunity to work with some coaches in that environment, and like you said, I mean, he had some plays that looked pretty good. You know, you can't get a good feeling for how a linebacker did by just looking at stats, right? You got to, like you're saying, you got to watch the tape and see what it looks like. How is he doing reading defenses? You know, if you had an opportunity to watch the game, you see him in a couple places, because these guys are, you know, they're trying to figure out these schemes a week in. And he was pointing out to other players, defensive linemen and ends and stuff, okay, this is where you need to be. You could see him kind of filling that role on the defense. And coaches are going to notice that type of thing. Here's a guy that's football smart, can pick things up, hits hard, is very athletic, and is just really into football. So I think he may have created some space for himself to go at real late rounds. But I'm not going to be shocked either way, I guess.
You and I have talked about this before. We talk about it, I think, every year. I actually prefer them going as a free agent than being one of those last couple rounds.
You don't want to go in the last two rounds.
Yeah, you're then locked into a team. They're going to keep you on the roster potentially
too long,
and there may not be it may not be a good roster situation.
Or they keep you too long, and by the time they cut you, there's nowhere for you to go.
Yeah,
it's tough. So, it's a tough spot.
But that being said, I think Longy is a guy that could. Because of the fact that he was played out of position for a good portion of the 2016 season, I think he's one that if people go back and look at the tape from his junior year, if they look at that Senior Bowl tape, I think he's one. I won't be shocked if 5 years from now he's still on an NFL roster.
Oh, no, man, not at all. But he could turn out to be one of these guys, you know, like remember Uwani Unga. Nobody was expecting him to become...
Right.
You know, to do the things that he's done.
Yeah,
You know, and so... Yeah, I think we shouldn't be surprised to see Longy do
well. Well, Chris Hoke was an undrafted free agent, stuck in the NFL
forever
for a long time. So, I mean, you don't necessarily have to get drafted, though most of the best players do go in the first three or four rounds for sure, except for Tom Brady. And we'll get to that in a minute. We're going to talk about the Patriots later in this show, and we're going to annoy the heck out of almost every one of you.
See, I wish I were wearing my Tom Brady jersey right now.
You should be wearing that. I looked up. They do have custom Kyle Vannoy jerseys. $100 online, Matt.
It's time,
custom
baby.
Custom Kyle Vannoy jerseys. So, Matt, let's talk about something depressing. Men's basketball.
Oh, man. Yeah, see, I figured we were probably going to get to this.
Yes. Yeah, so, Matt, there... Hey, where do I even start?
It's sad.
We now have two losses that you and I, before the season, said we could afford one of those.
And actually, we expected one.
We expected they'd drop one game they shouldn't on the road, and here they now have two in 2 weeks' time. And my guess is this is not the last time they lose to a team they shouldn't.
Mm.
I'm going to predict at least one more of these.
That's not good. That's actually very bad.
So I liked... what I saw better against LMU. And by the way, these 10 o'clock games are wearing me out, man.
See, am I getting older or is 10 o'clock later than it used to be?
I think you're just getting older.
I feel like I'm getting older.
I assume, though, you'll stay up on Thursday night. We'll preview the Gonzaga game.
For the Gonzaga game. I mean, yeah, you got to stay up for that. For at least the first half.
So LMU, they... the first half. I'll text you late in the second half so you can wake up to see the
end. Don't worry, I'll ignore your text. I'm really good at ignoring your text.
You are extremely accomplished in that. So, Matt, let's talk about lessons that maybe we've learned about this team. I'm getting like a crink in my neck from looking at you. Why am I looking at you so much?
You're not the first person who's told me that.
I can just move this microphone. The microphone moves. So
you're going to lose it off the desk there.
Yeah. Oh boy.
This is weird doing this in the same room. It's almost uncomfortable.
Freaking me out.
I'm staring at you the whole time while you're talking. I'm going to lean in like this and just awkwardly stare at you.
We are cutting each other off less.
That's true.
Because we can actually see.
But if you look, we are sitting exactly the same way in our chairs.
Our wives will dig that. We're not exactly twins. I have a lot more hair. And you're skinnier.
Yep.
Which, both of those things aren't things I thought I'd say when we were teenagers.
Because actually, they weren't true.
Yes.
When we were teenagers.
You had more hair and you were bigger than me.
I had a little too much hair at some points in my life.
You said it, I didn't. So our brother Don, speaking of other brothers, why does this team appear to be emotionally fragile? Could Mika – oh, we'll get to a second question. Matt, as you watch this team, do you get a vibe from them like you know me. I'm not usually into these vibe things about the emotional states of these teams. So I'll say my opinion. What do you think about Don's thoughts on – emotionally fragile.
Emotionally fragile, I feel like, is a little bit harsh of a term, but I do feel like this team, when things don't go their way, they have a hard time snapping out of it.
Yeah.
So
sure.
I guess maybe that is the definition of emotionally fragile.
I'm going to get to this here in a minute. They're just not very good. Okay. That's the answer.
That's really the problem.
And whether it's something emotional, I don't know. I'll get into here in a minute what I think could do. That some of the reasons I think that we have some issues this year. Could Mika have been a zone leader in the Klingon mission? I think he would have been great.
Only Don can tell me that. I've never been,
but I would assume because of his size, he would have been respected among the Klingons.
He's got a very small forehead.
He does have a small forehead comparatively.
Comparatively. I'd say it's an average for a human.
For a human,
but
yes.
For a Klingon,
plus
not enough ridges.
Though he showed it against LMU, you might have fallen asleep. But after who got knocked down on the layup? Somebody got knocked down on the layup. It was a foul on the floor, and then they hit him really hard going to the hoop. And Mika got in that guy's face. And I'll tell you what, that guy backed off like he was doing the back pedal. Like, and he was sitting a small guy. And I was just like, we need a little meanness. You know, I don't want Mika doing anything dumb because he's too important to this team. But right now, there isn't, without Kafusi in the lineup, there's nobody to intimidate.
No, not at all.
I mean, Mika's not, that's not his role, right? His role is be better than everyone else on the floor.
Yeah, but if you want to compete, apparently, you need that. And I think that's going to, we're going to see that big time this week.
Yeah, I absolutely. So, Matt, Brian Taylor asks, why is BYU still playing the 1-3-1 zone? Matt, I have no freaking idea.
It has to be that everything, all other solutions look so bad that we're stuck with this. This is just what we've got. Defensively, I think this team obviously has some problems.
Yes, they
certainly
do.
And this might be, as terrible as it is to say this, what if this is the best solution? What if the positioning and everything is worse in other configurations?
The best solution is either straight up man-to-man or that matchup 2-3 zone.
Okay, straight up man-to-man is not going to work.
Better than the 1-3-1 zone?
Maybe.
Because I'll tell you why. Okay, right now we've got two guys that can play the top of that 1-3-1 zone and be disruptive. You've got Gwyn and you've got Rose. Both of them do it well. I like them up there. Mika does a very good job at the base of the 1-3-1. Okay? The problem with the 1-3-1 is we don't have enough athletic perimeter players to have people on the wings.
Well, and I think that's the same problem you have in a straight-up man.
I agree, but the difference is Childs and Mika are on the floor and they play at 1-3-1. Childs cannot play the wing. He's not fast enough. He's not quick enough. He's not used to defending perimeter players. Like, he looks like you've put him in a position to fail. If you put him in the middle, where he should be, over time, then he and Mika can help if Hawes gets beat for the eighth time of the game off the dribble.
So while what you're saying here does say that the 1-3-1 isn't the right setup, man probably doesn't work. Because I think you're going to have the same athleticism problem there.
But I think does it depends on who's on the floor.
Let's just use the personnel you just talked about, right? So does a 2-3 work?
Yes, better. In the end, though, scheme is never as important as your ability to defend one-on-one and keep your feet in front of people.
And I think that's the problem.
I mean, in the end, scheme can cover some things. And if we had just one defensive hole, then you know, Jimmer was never an elite defender, and we were able to make the defense work. But I'm going to propose something to you. I don't think the defense is as bad as we think it is. I think the problems are offensive. Well, they are kind of offensive to me, but we'll get into this later, Matt.
So this is one of those things where, like, you're not playing well enough offensively that you're turning the ball over or you're giving opportunity. Because, I mean, point total is an issue in some of these games.
Point total is an issue, but that's also part of the style that we play. We push the ball up, okay. So point totals are going to get higher. If you look at the advanced stats, we are actually playing defense in a top 50 fashion. It's our offense that's the problem. This is the lesson I think I've learned. When Mika is not on the floor, or he's having an off night, which has been rare this year, there's no offensive identity. There is nothing that defines this team. Are we a three-point shooting team? Not really. Are we a team that can beat you off the dribble a ton? No, not really. So what do we do? Like, it's a mess. It's a mess when Mika's not on the floor. Like, Hawes tries to do everything by himself off the dribble. Emery looks, quite frankly, looks lost on offense. Like, Collinsworth helped Emery find a place to be effective. And I think we underestimated that because there's nobody feeding Emery the ball in places where he can be successful.
Yeah, are we looking at, you know, we've talked about how Rose goes some period of time while he's figuring out the rotation and where to put personnel and all this. Is what you're explaining an extension of that, where we just never got to what the right setup for these players is? We're just not going to get there this year?
Brian says it at the end of his Facebook
tweet bag.
And I've said this before on the show, Rose needs to find a defensive guru. We need somebody to come in next season and totally change how we play defense. Go back to square one, the fundamentals and the scheme. Because right now we do not have, nor will we in this run, have a bunch of athletic perimeter guys.
Well, and the sad thing is, right, I mean, if we go a stretch with this group of players without making the deepest run into the tournament that we've ever had, it's just going to
be a failure, right? Isn't it?
Yeah.
If we don't make at least the Sweet 16 with this group, isn't that a failure?
Now, but let me ask you this. So, you know, there have been a lot of transfers the past couple of years, and some have speculated that some of these transfers are connected to, well, you got this, the Lone Peak 3 or the Klingon Zone Leaders or whatever we're calling them, have come in. If we had kept those guys, you know, you could name a couple of them, right? There's
a couple of them, when they played at Lafayette,
and a couple of these places, right? So, if we'd kept some of these guys, would we be in a different situation?
Well, we'd be in a different situation this year if Davis wasn't hurt, too.
That's true.
We came into the year thinking, okay, we're going to have too many big men. Okay? We got eight.
It was an embarrassment of riches,
yeah,
right?
Dastrup.
We've never had this before.
Childs, Mika, Davis, and Mr. Kafuzi. Right now, they're playing two big men.
Yep.
They're playing right now. It's Childs and Mika playing, and you get a little bit of Shaw and Dastrup or somebody else, you know, dabbled in there. But if you look at the minutes played, we're playing seven guys, right? Like, this is really shallow, and unfortunately, I don't think those seven guys are good enough to be where we need them to be. Now, that may change next year. I think Hawes will get better. But Emery looks lost to me. This is like a lost season for him so far. He's worse than he was last year. Maybe not a ton, but you don't want to see a guy going backwards his sophomore year. So let's talk about the future. Let's talk about Gonzaga, Matt. You may not know this, but they're number one in all of the land.
Yeah, I had heard something to that effect. All the number ones keep getting beaten.
So yeah, all the number ones keep getting beaten and then beat each other a little bit too with – It was Kentucky and Kansas played on Saturday, right? But after Villanova and Kansas had already lost games that week to not necessarily great opponents, but that happens. College basketball is a long season, and no, people don't typically go undefeated. Matt, Gonzaga might enter the tournament undefeated.
I think it's likely.
Do you think they lose between now and the end of the year?
Nope.
You think St. Mary's has a better than 40% chance of beating them at St. Mary's?
If you had asked me, I'd say 45.
Wait a second. At St. Mary's, didn't they already play that one? Anyway, I would say it's even less than that. I think if you look at this Gonzaga team, they right now, according to sportsreference.com, Matt, they are the number one rated defensive team in the country. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
And the number two rated offensive team in the country.
Yeah, that's pretty good.
That's pretty good, right?
Is that good?
I think that's good. So Matt, one of the problems that this BYU team has is depth, okay? After Eric Mika is the second best player in the conference according to player efficiency rating in the WCC. You know who's next for the Cougars? You can look at my computer screen. It's not Kyle Lewis.
Is it? Oh, it's not? That list suggests that it is.
Yeah, but he hasn't played enough minutes.
Oh, so it's Yoeli Childs.
So Yoeli Childs is next, okay? He is the 20th best player in the West Coast Conference, okay? So player efficiency rating, Mika's at an unbelievable 32.1, which is great. Yoeli Childs is 17.5. Let's talk a little bit about the Zags, okay? They have five players over 20. Now, Ryan Edwards probably doesn't count because he's only played a little bit, but you could count Killian Tilly, who's 19.9.
Yeah, it almost rounds up there, huh?
They are so freaking deep this year. They have guys on their bench that would be the second or best player on BYU.
Yeah, I mean, if you look at that list, I mean, they go down, you go seven deep before you drop below 19.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah. So they've got, say, a similar player in statistics to Nick Emery, for example, is Silas Melson, who is listed as the 10th best player on according to the advanced stats. Take two of those guys out, so maybe he's the 8th best player because some of those guys haven't played very much. But still, he's the number 8 guy in the rotation, and Emery is one of our starters.
Wow.
So, Matt.
So you're going to stay up and watch this whole game?
I'm going to stay up and watch this. Well, I didn't stay up and watch the whole game. If we're down by like 30 points with a few minutes to go, I may call it.
It's hard. It's hard to watch.
It's like, kind of painful.
Because I, you know, obviously I love the team. I care about the team. And I like the, it's hard. It's hard to watch them.
Yes.
But I just worry that this is going to get ugly.
So Matt, chances of BYU being able to keep it within 20 points.
You know, this is a team that does show some ability to play up to their opponent, mm-hmm. you know, or play down to the opponent.
Yes.
They tend to do that a little bit. They feed off of the energy. So do I think they can keep it inside of 20 points? I'd say they have a greater than 50% shot.
Yeah.
65% shot that they keep it within 20 points?
I'd call it around 65. I'd say the same thing. I think number one, Gonzaga has no reason to come in here and just absolutely pound us. They clearly know they're the better team at this point, and you know, maybe they're a little motivated from losing last year, but I think they're probably beyond that kind of stuff at this point.
You'd hope at this point you got to get over that.
The eyes are on the prize. Now, you can only take it one week at a time. I get that, but this is a team that wants to win a national championship, Final Four or bust.
Yep.
Right. We talked about disappointment for us in the upcoming years if the BYU team does not start, you know, doing better in the tournament, if we don't have a run in us with this group of recruits. I'll tell you what, Gonzaga's going to be disappointed, and it will be considered a disappointment if they don't reach at least the Final Four, right?
Yeah, it'll be like that guy with the bad mustache who cried that one time.
Yes, yes, yes. It will be just like that. Do you remember what his name is? Adam Morrison.
Adam Morrison, that's his name.
That's his name.
Just like Jim Morrison, but Adam Morrison.
Yes, yes. Yeah,
very similar.
Very. They're almost identical.
Yeah.
Matt, let's go back in time to last year when we beat Gonzaga.
Oh, that's a much happier. These are happier times.
It's happier times.
It's the best of times.
How many guys did we have above 17 in PER?
Above 17 in PER?
Yeah.
I don't know. I lost track. Seven?
Six, really, because Gwen didn't really play very much. But yes, you're very good at reading computer screens.
This is much easier when you ask me these questions when I'm sitting in front of your computer.
Corbin Cafusi, remember, had a pretty good year last year. Like, I think we all know that, but losing him to go play football is a big deal. He was the sixth best player on this team.
So what would you, if you were him, what would you do?
I would have stuck with basketball. Yeah. I wouldn't have gone and played football. Because he had a chance outside, as it were. Well, maybe he thought he had a better chance at the NFL. But I'll tell you what, he didn't look great on the football field this last year. He got pushed around a lot.
Yeah, but you know, you got somebody close to you makes it to the next level and says, hey, you know, I think you could do this. I mean,
you'll have the bloodlines, and he may improve and all those things. But that being said, Kyle Davis should have been on this team. And he was according to PER, was the second best player on the team last year. That's not my memory, my emotional memory. I thought it was Emery, but you also lost Fisher and Celius. We had an incredibly powerful punch of offensive players last year.
Yeah.
And Fisher was not a great defender, but not terrible. And he was so efficient offensively last year. And Emery was better. Davis, and obviously Collinsworth was the best player we had. We didn't have anybody as good as Mika's playing right now, but we had so much more depth. That's why we could beat Gonzaga last year and why we won't get close to beating them this year. Because I don't think, I mean, we're not going to beat them in Spokane. We're not going to beat them in the tournament if it comes to that. Matt, do we even finish third in the WCC?
No.
I think we do. Because the rest of these teams will self-destruct.
You think we're going to lose one more of these?
Yeah. Yeah, we'll lose.
You're talking third regular, I guess in the tournament, there's no third place, right? Yeah, there's not like a consolation round.
No, I'm just talking about regular season third place. Because we're tied for third right now. I think some of these teams end up knocking each other off a couple times.
Yeah.
So let's see, the standings are, yeah, I think Santa Clara loses a few more games. San Francisco, they already did. That's right. Santa Clara beat us and then they lost. So we're in third place by ourselves. I forgot about that.
Right. But you drop one more of these. I mean,
drop more. Santa Clara's hasn't lost their last game. They're going to lose at least, you know, but you know, we're going to lose.
Neither have we.
Well, and we haven't played Gonzaga yet.
Right.
So there's two more losses.
Two more.
And we've got to play St. Mary's a second time. So that would be, say we lost that, so that's six losses, seven. Yeah, there's an outside shot we don't finish third. I don't know that it matters too much once you get either we get hot. Matt?
Well, I don't know, that because at this point, like, we're not going to the tourney.
No, we're not going to the tournament.
Right, so does it really matter?
It all comes down to two things. If you were to beat Gonzaga twice, either during the regular season or, you know, but obviously if you beat Gonzaga in the tournament, that's probably the championship game, depending on where you're seated, and you get in anyway. Stop staring at me like that, you weirdo. Wish people could see. Wish we were doing a video version of this podcast. See how weird that is.
It's a lot more fun when I can make faces to you and you can see them. When we're recording this normally, I make faces and you can't see it, so it's not nearly as funny.
It's preferable. We're never doing this again. So, seriously, stop doing that.
I wasn't looking at you. What are you talking about? I'm just sitting
making
here.
Making weird faces.
I'm just sitting here. I'm just making listening to what you're saying. Trying to concentrate.
So Matt, I saw this out on Twitter, and this is way premature, but that's kind of what we do. Do you refuse an NIT invite?
No, that's stupid.
Stupid. I know. Why do people say that every year? Like,
what are we, LSU?
What purpose is there to not play more basketball and have more practice?
Now, didn't LSU last year refuse the invite? I think they were embarrassed, though, because they had, like, the best player in the country, and they were terrible.
But here's the thing. You want more games and practice.
Yeah, but he probably didn't want to play anymore.
Well, so what? So sit him out. They just did
you get that old thing, you know. Hey,
it's
why
the
is
NIT.
This guy sitting
Nobody
out?
Cares.
Somebody
it's not
cares.
Even a bowl game.
Somebody cares.
I don't know. I just,
yeah, but you play the games. You don't refuse an invitation. What is this? That's just dumb.
Well, and it's more practices. You get more practice time, right? Do we believe that practice helps?
Practice? We're talking about practice.
Playoffs. So Matt, let's talk.
It's guy's out here talking about practice.
Okay, I'm done with the Gonzaga preview because basically it's depressing me. We're not going to win.
No.
That's where we both are standing. So, Matt, let's talk about a game we're a little bit more excited about that's also going to happen before we podcast next, which is something called the Super Bowl.
You might have heard of it.
You might have heard of it. They do talk about it a little bit in the sports media.
The Patriots have won a couple of them.
The Patriots have won. Tom Brady is 4-2 in Super Bowls. Matt, is Tom Brady a better Super Bowl quarterback or overall quarterback, however you want to call it, than Joe Montana?
Yes. Yes, he is.
Yes, why are people still... Montana's got replaced by Steve Young.
Yeah.
And went to Kansas City and did okay. Brady played at a high level when he was young and when he was almost now 40. He's probably the best quarterback in
the
league.
He's 40.
Yes, he's a man. I'm 40. I've been saying that all year because I'm 40.
It's great. It's the best year of your life.
It is the best year. Every once in a while, I'll just turn to Kathleen. I'll be like, I'm a man. I'm 40.
Yeah, when you do that, you sound a lot like, what's his face?
Yeah, yeah.
You need to grow a mullet. He had a mullet last season.
Last season?
This 2016, he had a pretty serious mullet. He let it grow in the back. He was all party in
Gundy,
the back.
Gundy, right?
Yeah.
Gundy.
Yeah.
That's his name. My microphone's...
Yes, but yeah, you look at a guy like Tom Brady, though. This is a guy that's been bringing it for years. And he talks about wanting to play till he's 60 or something. You know, they do this really weird diet in their house. I mean, does everybody know about this? He doesn't eat red meat, a lot of legumes, like
he's also
weird
married
stuff.
To a supermodel, so I'm not sure what he does is applicable.
No, but they all do it. Their whole family does it.
The kids?
Yeah. Well, that's what I heard.
That's depressing.
That's what I heard.
I love red meat.
No red meat at all?
I love red meat.
Like...
Have you seen that guy that makes fun of spiritualism and he does the commercial?
Yes, with the redhead guy?
Yeah, yeah.
Yes.
Where he says he's if meat eaters talk to vegans like vegans talk to the rest of us.
Yes, it's hilarious.
Fantastic. Anyway, Matt, I don't know about the diet, but
Why are you breathing? You're breathing my food's air.
Yeah, you're breathing my food's air. You're eating my food's food. That's what the cow would eat. So Matt, here's the thing. I know most of you on this podcast listening probably hate the Patriots. You probably, like everyone at work, is calling my team a bunch of cheaters, which at least in one case was true. We did tape a practice.
Okay, but listen, I'm not like one for situational ethics here, but
yes, you are.
Every team in the NFL was doing that.
Well, George Seifert, if you remember at the time, who coached the 49ers to a Super Bowl, said they did it.
They were all doing it. Everyone was doing it. Now, if we need everybody to stop, yeah, by all means, crack down. But let's not be stupid about this and make an example out of one team.
Okay.
Just to prove a point.
And here is the one that is killing me. There are still people believe on Flategate that something bad happened. There's still people.
Once again.
Despite the fact that the NFL got absolutely hammered in court for making crap up.
And... they're all doing this. A couple years ago, yeah, Aaron Rodgers is like, yeah, I overinflate the footballs.
Yeah.
Like, they're all doing this stuff. And there was already a rule for this. It's a $25,000 equipment violation. The whole thing is just insanity to me.
Yes. Instead of siding with the classiest owner in sports, you sided with Jim Irsay.
But he broke his cell phone, Adam.
So what?
He broke his cell
phone. So what? He didn't want to give his cell phone, his private cell phone, to his employer. How many of us would give our private cell phones over to our employer?
Negative.
I would say if it was my private cell phone and I paid for it, you can go to you know where to find my cell phone.
Detroit.
You can go to Detroit.
Maybe you're going to mail it to Detroit and they can go pick it up there.
They can pick it up in Detroit.
That's right.
New York based. So what is the best part? If the Patriots win the Super Bowl, man.
Oh, it's got to be the trophy presentation.
Isn't it? Goodell handing Brady the trophy?
And I think Brady has to accept it.
Oh, he has to take it.
And then you know what he does? Right after he takes it, Kraft will be too drunk. Oh, Kraft, did you see him at the conference championship game?
Was he drunk or is there something else going on? I mean, it's possible. He's old.
See, the advantage of doing this in person is I can make this face to you, and you're like, okay, yeah.
Okay.
He walked up there. My son was like, oh. You know, and he knew. He could tell what was going on. He was drunk. But right after he gets the trophy, Tom Brady should give him the people's elbow.
I know what Brady should do. He should just say, "Suck it, Goodell."
You know, he should sit down, Goodell. He should say, "You know, no thanks. I got what I wanted," and just walk away, or hit him over the head with it.
Yeah, should totally hit him over the head with it. That'd be fantastic. I mean, here's the thing. I know people hate the Patriots. I get it. All right. You hate the team that wins a lot. That's, and obviously Belichick
used to hate the Cowboys.
Used to hate the Cowboys in the 90s, hated the Yankees when they used to be good. You know, all those things. I get it. I've been on the other side. But you cannot side with the Emperor. You know what I'm saying? Like, Goodell is like evil.
See, but everybody else listening to this, when you said the Emperor, they thought you were talking about Belichick. That's how people look at Belichick.
No. The bad guy here is Goodell. Goodell is driving this league into the freaking ground because he has no idea what he's doing.
It should be the best, most profitable, most popular sports product in the United States.
And ratings are going down.
He's killing it.
Ratings are going down. He's watered down the product. They show games like it's now like every day of the week. So it's no longer that event that Sunday used to be for NFL fans. And then you had your Monday night. Now you've got Thursday night. Saturday, whenever they can squeeze it in. Oh, by the way, we're going to have games in freaking London. What the freak are you doing games in London?
Well, nobody shows up in Jacksonville either, so I don't know what they're really losing. But then you got like Monday Night Football on Wednesday night. That's the part that drives me nuts. Listen,
it's Monday Night Football.
It's not Monday Night Football. You just confused me.
It's Sunday Night Football.
It's not Thursday. Sunday Night Football. Just because you're going to play the Carrie Underwood intro does not make it Sunday Night Football.
Or that it's those two guys calling the games, which, by the way, can they just call all of these games? I just want not to have Buck anywhere near. I don't want Phil Sims. I don't want Hairman. What's his name?
Hairman.
It's an old family joke. Don and Dad will get it. Jim Nance.
Nance.
Before he got popular, he was a sportscaster in Utah, and his hair always looked like terrible. So they called him
Hairman. He was really good on How I Met Your Mother. He had some cameos there. They were pretty hilarious.
Listen, I actually don't mind Nance. Nance is fine. He's not great, but I don't mind him. Phil Sims, unfortunately, is terrible.
Yeah, we've talked about that before.
I can't stand Buck. Aikman's okay. He's a little Captain Obvious. I mean, but Phil Sims, like, I'm sitting there watching with my 10-year-old daughter who doesn't really care about it. And she's like, why did he say that? Everyone can see that. I mean, he'd say things like, oh, there's a tackle. Really, Phil? That's all you got? There's a tackle? We have a play-by-play guy. That's what he says. And we have eyeballs.
We have eyeballs. Well,
anyway. So, Matt, let's do some predictions here. Over-under, Tom Brady yards will set the over-under at 295.
Over.
Over. I'm also going to take the over. Matt, the line has the Pats by 3.
Come on.
We're both taking the Pats. Over-under total points is 59. I'm going over.
I'm also taking the over. I had to do some math in my head.
Yeah, you had to do your carry the score. One. I think this is going to be a good game. I think the Falcons' offense is legit. I think they will end up scoring points. I think Atlanta's defense is talented, but they have not met an offense anywhere near as potent as this. I think it's one of those, by halftime, people are wondering if it's a little bit of a boring game, like it's 14-10 at halftime. And then I think it's Patriots win 37-31.
Interesting.
Matt?
I think also that a lot of points are going to be scored late in this game. I think second half of the third quarter, maybe fourth quarter.
It just starts going.
Yeah, it's just people, they just start lighting each other up. It becomes a little bit of a track meet, but the Pats come out on top 35-30.
Matt, as we look at the NFL right now, I was having this conversation with a guy in the lobby today at the hotel, a coworker of mine, and he said something that I think is true. I'd love to get your take on this. Are there really only like 3 good quarterbacks left in the NFL?
Yeah. It's the age of quarterbacks is coming to an end.
It's already come to an end, hasn't it?
It's time to start erecting statues.
I mean, Brady's going to retire in the next couple of years. Mm-hmm. Rodgers, though he looked fantastic for a stretch of 7 or 8 games, and I think we'll still have a few good years left in his career. But Andrew Luck isn't what we thought he would be.
No.
You know, obviously Russell Wilson was hurt this year. Cam Newton had an off year compared to his awesome year the year before. Dak Prescott had a great year as a rookie. But, you know, you look at somebody like Matt Ryan, who's had a very nice career, but he's not a Hall of Famer, right?
Well, but you look at – everyone's talking about Matt Ryan's 2016, right? 2 or 3 years ago, with this performance, gotten on anyone's radar?
No.
Would he be talking? Would people be talking about him as leading this team to the Super Bowl?
Maybe not. And quite frankly, I think a few years ago, this team doesn't make the Super Bowl.
Yeah,
I mean, they built a very good young defense, which has been because they've had offenses that were really good. The other part is anyone questioning the Julio Jones trade up to draft Julio Jones anymore?
Yeah, not anymore.
I mean, I remember thinking that was one of the dumbest NFL things I've ever seen. You don't trade up to get a wide receiver.
Apparently you do.
You do if he's Julio Jones, because that game, that championship game, when he caught that ball going across and then basically just said, I'm more of a man than you, as he pushes these guys aside.
Well, and I think that if this were any other season where there had been some more, the higher number of memorable quarterback performances, everybody would be talking about Atlanta. Maybe they still go to the Super Bowl, and I think that they do. I'm not sure I'm with you where they wouldn't. They might not have made it a year or two ago. I think maybe they do. But people would be talking about their defense. This would be like when Denver went.
Well, because their defense, though their offense played great in both of those games. Their defense shut down. I mean, Rodgers, the Packers' offense had been nigh unstoppable for like 8 weeks
straight. Rodgers looked superhuman.
Yeah, you watched that game the week before against Dallas, and he was making throws that I just thought, like, there's five guys in the history of the NFL that could make those throws repeatedly.
Yeah.
Like, yeah, every once in a while, everybody has a great throw. But he was on fire. Matt, how many more years does Brady play? Three more? Two more?
Three max.
Three max, right?
I think he's 2 to 3.
And after that, the Patriots, Belichick retires and the Patriots go back to being the Patriots? Or yep. Do they stay relevant?
I don't think Belichick retires immediately.
Oh, he retires immediately.
But I think within a couple of years after that, he retires.
If he's smart, walk off, man. Walk into the sunset, hand the reins to Josh McDaniels to run into the ground and move along.
It's going
to
be pretty terrible.
Would you rather have McDaniels or Patricia replace? I'd rather have Patricia.
I think you get Patricia
the
run.
Beard
we've already
for
seen,
nothing else.
Well, we've already seen what McDaniels,
well,
what McDaniels
but,
can
do. But I saw a very good argument the other day. Remember that Belichick failed his first time as a head coach, too.
Oh, touche. So did Pete Carroll.
So did Pete. Well, you and I, basically, we ran Pete Carroll out of New England.
But he needed to be run out.
I'm not sure. You look back, they weren't that bad. They weren't that bad. This wasn't.
Are you defending Pete Carroll?
I
don't even know what
to
do about this.
I can't believe that I'm defending Pete Carroll, but
oh
I'm kind
gosh.
Of defending Pete Carroll.
He left right before the NCAA levied sanctions on the program. No, wait a minute. Sorry, that was a different job that he quit.
Yeah, that was later. That was later. Matt, Bill Belichick's the best coach ever, right? Is there any discussions at this point?
Oh, come on.
Landry? I can make the – Landry's peak might be better than Belichick's peak.
Maybe.
But nobody's going to beat Belichick on longevity except for maybe Shula, but Shula didn't win as much.
But Shula does have the undefeated season that they're going to hang over everybody's heads forever.
Forever.
Because nobody's going to beat that. Nobody's going
to
do it.
I mean, you saw what happened to the Patriots. They did it and then lost in the Super Bowl.
Nobody's
Tyree. Oh,
nobody's ever going to catch it on your helmet.
Catch on their helmet.
It's not even a catch. That shouldn't count.
Of course, we sound lame. Patriots fans that complain are lame.
Yeah.
No joke. Like, I saw somebody that we both know, and I won't say his name, because there's a chance he might listen to the podcast, on Facebook basically saying that they should fire Belichick if they lose the Super Bowl.
That's insane.
This is like...
That makes no sense to me at all.
But this is what happens when your fan base gets spoiled, right?
It's like Alabama fans.
It's like Alabama fans. Who's to blame for not winning the national championship? Somebody's head's got to roll. They didn't win the national championship. They got beat by this awesome Clemson team with a senior quarterback. How dare they?
Yeah,
somebody's head should roll, an offensive coordinator, or they already got rid of him.
Well, no, so they fired him after he quit. It was brilliant.
Yeah.
I mean, who sees that?
Yeah, who sees that coming? I've quit. No,
you can't quit. You're fired.
Happens in like every movie.
And apparently to Lane Kiffin multiple times.
Where'd Kiffin go again? I keep forgetting.
FAU?
Yeah, some place terrible.
It's one of those teams, like when you play NCAA football, that you're like, oh, I'm going to see if I can win with this team. Yeah, that's where he went.
That's
what he's doing. He's doing what we all do in NCAA football games.
Oh, that's fantastic.
That's what he's doing.
That's fantastic. So, Matt.
Dumpster fire.
Thank you for being here in New Orleans.
It got weird. This part's getting weird.
Am I making it weird?
You know what they say, it's only weird if you make it weird, and you're making it weird.
That's kind of what I do, Matt. That's kind of who I am. Well, anyway, next week we will be back. You'll have noticed we did not talk about signing day. I kind of abhor talking about signing day before signing day.
You can't kind of abhor something, by the way. Abhor is a pretty extreme word.
Okay, I kind of dislike talking about signing day before signing day just because we've had Brandon Gurney on many times doing this, and it's the same show every year. These are the guys they're going to sign. There'll be one or two surprises because BYU has fewer surprises than most schools. So we'll talk about it next week.
There you go. There's our signing day segment.
We'll see who we actually sign. And the other part is every year I ask Brandon, so who's going to make an impact next year? And the answer is probably no one.
Right.
Because they're going on mission.
Right. Now, I will say this in terms of surprises, and this is one that just recently came on my radar. And so I don't think this has been reported anywhere. So we're going to break some news. I have all 4 years of eligibility left yet decided where I'm going to play collegiate football.
Oh, my gosh. You don't have all 4 years of eligibility left.
Sure, I do.
You went to college and graduated.
I can be a grad student. I can go get a second graduate degree.
When these people go back that were in the Army or played baseball, they weren't attending college. I'm pretty sure your eligibility is actually spent up.
Wow. I need to make some phone calls.
So that's our hashtag. If you made it all the way to the end,
some things off here.
If you made it all to the end, hashtag Matt eligibility.
Seriously,
hashtag Matt eligibility.
I may need to unquit my job.
Yes, you may want to call that boss back. So if you are interested in interacting with us, which I'm not sure why you would, but if you are,
we don't even like interacting with us.
Yeah, you've heard us. Email riseandshoutpod, one word, riseandshoutpod @gmail.com. Facebook, facebook.com/riseandshout. You can have us interjecting little BYU things in the midst of all of your friends posting about politics and their children.
We're a better option.
We are a better option than both of those.
Yeah, probably. Definitely the first one.
Definitely the first one. And then on Twitter, @BYU_RiseShout. Matt, anything else you'd like to add before we sign off?
I'm just glad we got through recording this podcast without any uncontrollable giggling. I kind of expected it to happen at some point, and I'm proud of us. We made it through.
We kind of lost it there a little bit in the middle.
Yeah, but we found our way. We found our way.
Yeah, looking at your face does cause giggles.
See, I got a little laugh out of you. Got a little laugh out of you there.
Because you're making some goofy face. All right. Well, thank you, everybody, for downloading and listening. If you don't subscribe to the podcast, do so on iTunes, your favorite podcast player. Thanks for downloading and listening, and we will catch you next time.
Go Cougars. You never said, you never said, you never said that it would be this hard. Love is meant to be forever now and never seems to discard. There's gotta be a better way for me to say what's on my heart without leaving scars. So can you hear me when I call your name?